This is tape two, side one of an interview with Jim Benson and a survey of the Abel Church Cemetery, August 10, 1989. And we're looking at still another member of the Frusta family, Elias, born...
Son of Fanny, Thomas and Fanny. Frusta. April 1866, died 1914.
See, that's March 15. Entered into his rest, and he would have been born just about a year after the end of the Civil War. The farthest to the west is Matthew, son of James and Leah Frewster, July 12, 1897, July 15, 1916. Again, gone but not forgotten. And this one has the Frewster family name at the bottom of the monument.
Yeah, he got Matthew, the son of James Leah Frewster. They got killed on a railroad, double track, when they were going building double track over here.
So he was working on that crew.
That's right.
A train hit him, or what happened?
Yeah, he got caught himself swinging a freight train, and he just wasn't acquainted with getting off, and so that result of his life. That Reverend Edward Reed died December 29th, 1918, age 58 years.
53.
53?
Yeah.
That's right, Mama. May the rescue.
Resurrection.
Sign these on the bosom of thy God.
And up at the top, but no longer clearly visible, it would have been a design of some kind, perhaps doves. This Reed, by the way, is spelled R-E-E-D in contrast to A.B. Reed. And was this Reverend Reed a member or a minister of this church?
He was a member of this church. He didn't minister yet, but he was a member.
So he preached elsewhere.
At no special church. He didn't have a church as we know of.
Mm-hmm. But he was a Baptist minister?
Baptist minister.
This grave is the one nearest the road separating Cemetery 1 from Cemetery 2, Cemetery 3.
Be a canon.
This seems to be what Mary Cannon... Died May 18, 1912, aged 60 years. And this is located pretty much in the center of Cemetery 1. Immediately beside it is a stone, now broken, that is for Hal, son of John and Vina, V-I-N-A, Hill, February 10, 1899, and died August 19, 1913. Currently, this is lying flat on the ground. And there's also a footstone nearby showing approximately where the upright stone should have been related to. In a line with the Hill tombstone and fairly near the church, Corrine, C-O-R-I-N-E, Miles, aged 16 years. moving to the west, William Reese, R-E-E-S-E, born 1868, died 1908. And do you know anything about the Reese family?
That's the same as my granddaddy. He's related to my granddaddy. He is related to my granddaddy, Jim Reese.
This is Lucinda Whitner, W-H-I-T-N-E-R, died July 18, 1909, age 77 years, gone but not forgotten. Blessed are those that die in the Lord, with also the Whitner family name underneath.
James W. Watkins. Born 1876, died 1904. Hattie Watkins, and what is it? Hattie Watkins, born 1878, died 1901.
Above the two of them are the words father and mother, the first occasion we see of that. And underneath, Hattie, gone to a bright home where grief cannot come. Underneath James Watkins is a more difficult saying to read. Another member of the family, Warren H. Watkins, born April 4, 1879, died October 28, 1895. And how were James and Warren related? Were they brothers? They were born 2 years apart. It says at the bottom, forever with the Lord. And a modern tombstone to the west of the others. Watkins, Reverend William, died 1912. Susan H. died 1918. Mm-hmm. Do you know how Reverend William Watkins was related to the two fellows we've just seen?
Oh yeah, that's Reverend William Watkins. That was their daddy. The old one, daddy.
Was he a minister at this church?
No, he was just a minister. He was a minister, but he didn't pastor this church, but he was a reverend minister.
Again, Baptist.
Yeah. I don't see.
Behind the Watkins graves are two others that are perhaps about 10, 15 feet apart. Each is surrounded by concrete coping and have provision for flowers. One is covered with crushed gravel. Neither have signs on them telling who is buried here. There are two final tombstones in cemetery number one. One is for daughter of W.C. and Isabella Williams, born July 23, 1892, died September 8, 1909. Faithful to her trust, even unto death. And the first name on the top of the tombstone seems to be Birdell, B-I-R-D-E-L-L, and the initial S. The final one is Mary Simpson, 1841-1905. And there is also a saying at the bottom of the stone that we have not been able to decipher. This is the end of the marked graves in cemetery number one. again, we're moving fairly close to the dirt road separating it from cemetery number 3. We're now standing back behind the church, actually on a line with the oak tree at the very front of the cemetery, which continues pretty much on a straight line to an oak tree at the back of the cemetery. What is no longer clear from dirt, but you can tell the separation from the graves, is what would have been a road dividing to our right, that is to the west, cemetery number 3, from the older cemetery number 2, lying back behind the church and to our left. The grave nearest us in cemetery number 2 is Margaret R. Harris, so she, in effect, forms the corner part here of cemetery number 2. And the first grave in cemetery number 3 is that of Donald, probably, Alston, died 1970, so much more recent graves. And we see here, Mr. Benson, a series of stumps.
Yeah, this stump is on line number 1. This is number 1, line number 1 going down there. And each one of these posts verifies what line, and then you go down that line and find the number, grave number, and it's on the chart on the, we have that on the inside the wall.
So you have all the graves in cemetery number 3 on your
on
map.
The chart, that's right.
And they're all identified.
Yeah.
Most of them have markers out here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear from looking at it that this is a much more modern cemetery where the plots are much more neatly laid out. The tombstones, of course, are newer, more elaborate, legible, and also much more completely marked as well. Looking at cemetery number 2, it stretches back behind the church for a substantial distance. It would appear that the large portion of these graves have markers, but perhaps not all. Were these, do you think, laid out in lines initially?
Yeah, they are in line. They are in line. That the only thing was we just hadn't put down stakes at each line, but we have them on the map, but we don't have the stakes yet. Now this is 9. Starting up here at the top, I don't know, it's maybe 9:13. But we start here to the right and come up on this number 2. And the lines, the graves are in line, and according to, with this, on the map, we have them in line. We can find the graves.
So you also have a map for cemetery number 2.
Two.
And the oldest graves are the farthest from the church?
The oldest graves.
In cemetery number 2?
Number 2 is the farthest at the bottom. It's right on the first line.
So at the back end would be what now are the oldest graves?
At the bottom?
Yes.
Now, the oldest, now some of the oldest graves, I can remember some of the, my memory, I can remember some of the oldest graves on the first line. In 9 down there, that was maybe Matilda Green and my mother and father, and those, they're on the first line down there.
Okay, let's go down and look at them.
Mm-hmm.
We're now in the back corner of the cemetery at what you see is the earliest grave in cemetery number 2. There is a stone here, and it looks like it was engraved or carved, but no longer legible. You remember, however, whose grave it is, you say?
It's Matilda Green. Matilda Green. That's whose grave it is.
Was she married?
She wasn't married. She married to Will Green. And she died.
Who died first, Will or Matilda?
Matilda, she died. She died, incident I won't forget, because during a revival meeting at the church, she had heart condition, something. She got happy in the church, and she collapsed, and she didn't recover. And we were living out there in front of the church, and they carried her out to our house, and she passed out there. I never will forget it, because I didn't sleep none that night.
I can imagine.
And so we were living up, we were staying upstairs, two-story house, so we were staying upstairs. They brought her out there and put her down in the front room on the front of the house. And so that's where she passed at.
About what age woman was she?
She was probably 50 or 60 year old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she had a heart condition, and of course, she got happy, and we don't know how much effect that, but it probably took some effects on her heart, so she passed.
And was that here at Abel?
That's at Abel.
Okay. Going to the east beyond Matilda Green is a grave that is clearly recognizable but has no stone.
No stone.
Do you know anything about, there are two here.
I don't know, but there's another one out here too. I don't know who it is.
And then some distance up, we'll come to in just a minute, are some of your family, but I believe you said in between were some children.
Yeah, three children in between. Three or more in between this grave here and my parents' grave over there.
All from the same family?
These children was.
Which family?
It was Gantz, Sonny and Bessie Gantz. I remember them, they hurt these children.
And about what age children were they when they died?
They were small children. They wasn't, they must have been about between 12 and 8, 7 years, something like that.
Did they all die at the same time from a similar disease?
They had flu or something.
So they all died within a few days of each other?
Well, they wasn't. It was probably almost a year apart, some of them, but they died right after the other.
And the grave here is?
And they were buried there, and that's between my parents here, my father and my sister and my mother, I believe that's right.
Okay, Patrick, should that be with a K or is the T correct?
Patrick Benson, that's my father.
Should it be with a K or a T?
T.
At the end.
A T.
Patrick, T-R-I-C-T, Benson, died 1926.
That's right.
About what age was he?
About 52.
Mm-hmm.
About 52.
And beside him is Lily Marie Benson.
Now, Marie, she wasn't old. She was about 25 years old, I think, when she died. She was about 25.
And she was?
She was about 25 when she died.
She was your mother?
No.
That was your sister.
She was a singing girl. She wasn't, and died young.
She was a sister?
Yeah, my sister.
And also beside her is Annie.
My mother, yeah.
She was a Reese.
That's right.
Annie Benson died 1926. Mm-hmm. That must have been a sad year with all three dying that year.
This one died in February.
That's your father.
And these two died in June.
Your sister and your mother.
That's right. About a week difference in their death, in these two.
And your particular plot is more nicely tended. It has the coping and the crushed gravel on it.
Yeah.
and also stones that were put up more recently as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now, the three people in your family died in 1926, so that must have been just about the time, or maybe the year before 1925, when cemetery number 2 began to be used.
That's right. That's the beginning. This was the beginning of the, well, now, there was two graves that buried out there on the end before we started on this end.
So those will be earlier.
Yeah, there were two out there. On the,
okay.
Before these ends started here.
To the east of your family plot is a monument for E.D. Reed, R-E-E-D.
Yeah, Ed Reed.
December 8, 1868, March 26, 1926. The surname Reed is in large letters across the bottom. The saying, he was the sunshine of our home. And on the top of the monument is a fairly elaborately carved drawing which shows a dove at rest and gates presumably to heaven. The most elaborate design we have seen so far. Were these reeds related to the R-E-I-D reeds? Or do you know?
Who was that?
This reed is spelled with two E's. And Oof. Butler reed is spelled R-E-I-D.
No, that's a different
thing. Totally different families.
But now this Reverend Ed Reed, we seen over yonder a while ago, he brother this one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a brother, we seen it, over yonder in number
yes.
one, Ed Reed, Reverend Ed Reed, his brother, this one.
But the families who spell their names differently yeah. are not related to each other.
No.
Okay, to the...
This was the deacon, Sherman Deacon of this, our church. Yeah, I remember that
mm-hmm.
way back when I joined the church there, he was Sherman Deacon.
What particular role did the chairman of the deacons play with new members such as yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Did they do some special training or?
No, not normally. They just had certain qualification, I guess. That is through, they have from experience. They just wouldn't, a new deacon, they wouldn't elect him for a chairman. Some man had to be experienced to be chairman.
Now, to the east of E.D. Reed seems to be space for about 4 or 5 graves.
That's Ransom of Matilda One. Maybe a little
And there's a very small round yeah. marker here yeah. for M.
Matilda. Matilda. That's what that M is for, Matilda Tremier. She died. Said when she died, but she lived to be 105 or 41.
She died December 3, 1930, age 70. No, 74. The digit is almost off the edge of the stone. A very small round marker that was put in presumably at some later time. And
my husband, he had a little round up there somewhere too, but he was 104.
And beyond her marker is again another long space with quite a few unmarked graves. One has a small number of stones marking the place, but without a name. Do you have any idea who else may have been buried in this area?
I wouldn't know who was in there.
There must be, close to 10 perhaps or more in this area that we just passed.
Yeah.
And the next marker is for John Collins, South Carolina, private, 49 U.S. Volunteer, V-O-L-I-N-F, June 23, 1938, and no birth date.
John Collins, eh? That's John Collins. Yeah. That's who that is, John Collins. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I remember him.
And an unmarked grave again. And then space for several more graves where there are no markings of any kind or stones. And presumably all of these spaces were used, I assume, in contrast to cemetery number one.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And a marker here for Lucille with two L's, Williams. December 25, 1905, died February 26, 1929. Uh-huh. Now, almost hidden, well, there's some more space for two or three graves, and almost hidden now under a tree and some growing foliage is a tombstone for O.B.W. Now, this grave is, you say, Lucille Gantz.
Lucille Williams.
Lucille Williams' mother.
Ola B. Ola B. Williams, I think.
Ola B. Williams.
That's right.
And presumably this was about 1927, 8, or 9 also.
But I have no that.
Okay, in the far corner of the cemetery, just beyond Ola Williams, is what would have been the farthest reach of the cemetery, not far beyond the Prince Hall Lodge. And some of the graves in this area also appear to be unmarked. Who did you say is buried near Ola Williams?
That Ola Williams over there.
Uh-huh.
And then that the fella Ed Green in between Ola B. and Bill Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Ola B.'s husband, see, there's a Bubba Ed Green buried in there. I just haven't, see, they've not got the marker there, but I just haven't know about it.
And did you say Bill Williams was the first person buried in cemetery number two?
On line number one. That's right. He's the first person buried out here.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, I remember him.
And about how old were you at the time? Do you remember?
How old I was.
He died before your parents?
Yeah.
So perhaps 1925 or early 26?
That's right. 25, maybe. 26, that's what it was. It was 26 because I had, but he was the first person buried here on this slide. And next one was Eddie Green and then Overby and on out.
And in this corner of the cemetery, it's very difficult to tell where the graves stop, but there are at least those two graves beyond Ola Williams, and perhaps there could be more, but it's fairly difficult to tell. And in the next line up, although we'll come back to it later, but just for a landmark, is a flat concrete marker whose writing is virtually unreadable. Do you remember whose grave this is?
I don't remember.
But it does seem to mark the farthest extent. There is some
let's see up here.
There is some concrete over there. Is that the edge of the cemetery or is that another marker?
No, that's a grave over there.
So there's one more even beyond this. And we'll try later to see if we can decipher a marker on this. Okay, we're now in line two of the cemetery, and it appears that in this corner there is a small stone without a name. There are probably a few unmarked graves as well. And then the first marker that we find is that without any legible reading on it. It might have been there once upon a time, but now is faded. And beyond it, just behind the stones for the Bensons, is Lucenia, L-U-E-C-E-N-I-E, Hamilton, May 14, 1910, January 19, 1926, at rest with God. And the stone is in the shape of a diamond, which is the first of those that we have seen. Mostly on line number two appear to be graves without any markers at all. Miss Hamilton's grave is outlined with brick. We've now gone nearly 25 yards after the previous stone, and there are basically no stones or markings for specific graves. Next one we find is...
Euphra B. Haywood, son of J.H. and Lucy Haywood.
Born March 21, 1897, died February 24, 1930. Another link is broken in our household band, but a chain is forming in a better land. And Euffer is E-U-F-F-E-R. Next to him is a stone that cannot generally be read.
On the table.
What it says on it is simply the words, a member. And why was this type of stone used?
It's a member, a stone, member, those who were a member of the PBA Society.